He is a photojournalist. Over the last 35 years, this man has helped us see the world through the lens of his camera. A photojournalist, and our good friend Mark Wolheiser is here this morning. Good morning, everybody. I'm Brian Cerny. Thank you for tuning in. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on Saturday morning, 97.9 ESPN Radio. We have Mark Wolheiser in the studio. Mark, thanks for joining us.
I appreciate it, Brian. I always enjoy it.
It's a good opportunity to have you here because tomorrow we will be attendance at the opening of a show that is going to be running for the full month of May at Railroad Square, entitled Interview with a Hurricane. Is that right?
That's correct.
And you have this reception opening tomorrow afternoon. What time is that?
It's from 3 to 5, and it's at 621 Gallery.
Okay. And it's open to the public.
Yes.
Anybody who would like to see just a sampling of the work that this man has done in his career as a photojournalist, you need to make your way to Railroad Square, Gallery 621. Between 3 and 5 is the reception. And Mark, I'm sort of feeling like a little kid in a toy store here because I've got so many questions I want to ask you. I'm a big fan of your work. I guess you know that. We all think highly of you as an individual, which is, I know, surprising to you because you know we've talked about that. But in fact, you bring a certain kind—I don't know how to describe it. I guess a sort of wonderment to the work that you do. You know, I'm always impressed with how little you take for granted, and I hope I don't embarrass you. But the fact is, a lot of folks who are as accomplished, and some not as accomplished as you are, tend to become, to me, a bit jaundiced. Maybe they become a little callous. And yet you've retained this sort of childlike wonder, if that's a good way of putting it, or a level of expectation in your work that continues to surprise us as your fans. And I suspect continues to surprise you. You're always taken with the next opportunity to bring us a slice of life. How does that make sense to you? Are you experiencing it that way?
It does make sense. I think my approach to events and happenings like the hurricanes or whatnot, each one's different. There's no sense in shooting the same thing the same way each time. You got to approach each of them individually.
And as a photographer, does it change you in some way each time you step back and you look at the work you've done? How does that affect you?
Oh absolutely. It changes you. It changes you while you're shooting, particularly with the hurricane stuff.
And in this show, again, it's entitled Interview with a Hurricane, 30 Years of Visual Reporting from the Eye of Mark Wolheiser. 30 years, man. And folks, I have in my hand here a flyer that lists the hurricanes in question, all the way back to Kate, Hurricane Charlie. I'm just picking out a few. Katrina. Hurricane Barry and Alberto. And for some of you listening, those names bring back a lot of very difficult memories, no doubt. And here you have taken the opportunity to bring those to us in a collection that are not just about hurricanes, are they? These photos are about
people.
People.
Right.
Yeah. And in those opportunities to photograph people, it seems to me you bring a level of awareness. There's something about what you choose as a subject each time that just moves me. Not what I was expecting, and yet you bring it and say, "This is what I saw."
The people are the faces of the hurricanes. I mean, otherwise it's just wind and water. So it's how it affects the people's lives that become the victims, if you will. That's what makes the difference between one storm and another.
Yeah. You were in a situation, too, with one of those stories you were telling me earlier about being on this boat with some folks who were missionaries. Tell us what happened. And which hurricane was that, by the way? Do you remember?
That was Kate. It was my first hurricane I've recovered, which is kind of why I pull such a bonehead stunt, if you will. But I was in Apalachicola, and looking around, trying to shooting pictures before the storm hit or whatnot, or as it was coming ashore, and found a couple missionaries that were staying on their boat in the Apalachicola boat basin. So I went out the dock and went on the boat and shot pictures of them.
Why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
They were the only ones out there at the time, right?
Oh, yeah. Everybody else had
you headed. And them.
Right, exactly.
See, that would have been my cue. Right.
That something's not right
here. Maybe shouldn't be here right now. But anyway, that's your life, right?
Exactly. And because they were staying on the boat, that becomes newsworthy, you know.
And at the time, you were working for a newspaper.
Right, okay. Democrat, the Tallahassee Democrat.
Okay.
So you kind of go to find out, hey, why are you guys doing this?
Yeah. So you were on assignment. You weren't just there because Mark felt like doing this.
Right.
You were doing
your job. Most of these hurricanes I either shot, early on I shot them for the Tallahassee Democrat, and after that I was contract for Reuters.
Oh, okay.
But they were missionaries, and that's really all they owned was that boat. Huh. So that's where they were staying. Photographed them and whatnot, but when I went to leave about dark, as the hurricane's getting heavy, the dock that they were tied to, the storm surge had covered the dock.
Entirely.
And I really didn't know if it was down there or not.
Wow.
So I couldn't get off the boat.
And the water continued to rise.
There were... It did indeed, and we shot some inside and shot some outside. He kept trying to get more ropes on the pillars to hold his boat. And while he was doing that, I think I counted 13 boats that either sank or were blown ashore.
Golly.
In a couple of hours, 2-3 hours.
Wow. So this was life-threatening. How did you get out of that situation? What happened?
Well, that's the catch. I'd had my fill by then, and this was my first hurricane. So they were 100 yards at least from hard soil.
Okay.
But as the storm blew all these reeds up against those poles, that was my carpet, if you will, out. I bagged my cameras up and put them in my raincoat pockets and borrowed one of his life jackets and jumped out of the boat.
Wow. I didn't, in the middle of a hurricane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you're now in the water. You've got your cameras bagged there, and you're scrambling to try to get to shore. And then what happened?
It's not recommended,
by the
way.
I mean, there are people now that are just kind of grabbing their
heads.
It was
never done again, let's put it that way. Well, I jumped out.
I'm sure
out
Jeannie's thrilled.
I jumped.
She's heard this story, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
A few hundred times, I'm sure. and it was after dark, so I also borrowed one of his flashlights, which might have had one of the three batteries that had juice in it.
Okay.
I crawled in on the reeds that had washed up against the post.
Along the dock there, or what was the dock.
Right, yeah. Right. And crawled on those reeds, crawled over one dead deer I know of, because I stopped and was poking him to make sure he was dead. And crawled those reeds back to the last 30 yards and had to wade the rest of the way out. And was real glad to get to land.
The missionary folks, did they come through okay?
I went back the next morning, and they did come through okay, which I'm pleased.
Yeah.
But when I walked up and started shooting pictures, and this one's also in the show, he had killed half a dozen or more water moccasins that were as big around as my arm, I swear. And wow. They were all in those reeds.
That you were crawling over.
That's correct. Lots of fun. I'm
so
glad
I... So, okay. So, as a photographer... now, wait a minute. As a young man, let's go back...
There you go.
Let's go back better than 35 years
ago. Foolish man. I was in 85.
Okay. Well, I mean, was this the life that you imagined? I mean, when you were in high school, did you say, you know, someday... I want to be out there crawling over snakes
right.
and dead deer.
Jumping out of a boat in the middle of a hurricane.
This is my idea.
No.
No. But it just came upon you. And you responded at the moment. And as a result, folks, we are the beneficiaries. We have Mark Wolheiser talking with us here this morning, 97.9 ESPN Radio. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on a Saturday morning. Glad you've tuned in. We're learning all about, again, because Mark has been with us on prior occasion, but we're learning more about the work that he's done better than 35 years as a photojournalist, working for newspapers across the region, and now as a photojournalist on his own and continuing the work that has defined the last 35 years. Especially this show that's opening tomorrow afternoon between 3 and 5 at Railroad Square, Gallery 621. Is that it?
It's inside. It's in the Nan Boynton Memorial okay. Gallery, which is inside 621.
Okay, 621 Gallery is the proper name. And that's between 3 and 5. And again, this is open to the public.
Open to the public.
And this is an opportunity for us to see this sampling, a collection of... this work.
It was curated by a gentleman, Kenny Irby, out of St. Pete, and it
and he's with the Poynter?
Poynter Institute.
Poynter
Institute of Media Studies. It's an internationally known media.
And some of these photos are Pulitzer Prize winning works?
They were part of Pulitzer Prize. They were part of the Biloxi Sun-Herald's Pulitzer Prize. Was a staff Pulitzer for public service, and they were part of that entry.
When when you look back, okay, the number of times that you've been in these situations, did you come to a point where you said, you know, this is the last one I'm doing. I just don't want to do this anymore? Or was it always...
I only come to that point when the last one blows.
Yeah.
I mean, if they'll stop, I'll stop and be more than happy to.
So you're not wearing out on us? Not yet, anyway.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
And we've not had any bad hurricanes.
No, that's the good part.
The
majority of, except for, well, even including Dennis, the majority of them I travel out of town for,
right.
and would rather do that than
right.
stay in town.
Right.
And in fact, I was out of town when Dennis made landfall over in Okaloosa Island.
Yeah.
And here the damage came over here.
Right.
And my wife was left to clean that up while I'm covering over there.
Wow. And now the first one you did cover was Kate, is that correct?
Kate and then Elena followed shortly
after
that. Or no, actually it was Elena
it the other
first
way around?
And Kate.
Yeah,
right.
yeah. And I was here for Kate. That was in 85?
85.
You've got some remarkable photos from that experience. I remember the one with the fellow standing on top of this massive tree. I think it was a live oak.
That was Hurricane Jeannie, have been in 2000, I believe.
Oh,
so that's
was.
One of the later ones.
That thing just sliced that house in half.
Cut
here's
it right
a,
in
here's
half.
A young man standing on top of the tree that's laying inside of his house.
Right, and all the way through the house. He was asleep. That was in Tallahassee.
Uh-huh.
He was asleep in his bedroom, which his bed is under the tree. It's a 5-foot diameter tree. It was huge. But it came down, cut his house in half.
Unfortunately,
and he was
did
under
not cut his, him in half.
His, yeah, his roommate had to dig through the dark and pull him out.
Wow. When you think about the people, the many people that you've interviewed or photographed, do you have those occasions when, in addition to the photo work you're doing, you engage in conversation, you're talking with them about their experiences? Which of those maybe stand out in your mind most prominently?
It's hard to pick out any one or three that stand out most. I mean, obviously the all of them that you talk to, and you, I have to talk to all of them because I get their names, you know. You know, they've lost everything they own, including their family or their pets, or you know. And it's difficult conversations.
I imagine. Is it harder going in or harder coming out when you know what you're going into, and you've had some experience doing this, quite a bit of it? Is that the harder part, or is it hard pulling away after you've been a part of their lives?
It's got to be harder pulling out. You know, it's many times a long road back to Tallahassee when you're driving, because all of these folks that you photographed and interviewed, you know, they roll around in your head, and you've, you know, you've interjected yourself as part of the experience, their experience, and now you've left. You've come, you know, come to town, taking your pictures, and now you're going home.
Any of them ever reach back to you years afterwards, or even months afterwards?
They have, and I've sought them out at times to find out how they're doing or whatnot. I've been unable to find the lady that's on the flyer that lost her friend.
That's a compelling photo, folks. You really owe it to yourself to be at this reception. And if you can't be there this Sunday, that'll be tomorrow afternoon from 3 to 5. Make sure that you you make the effort to visit 621 Gallery there at the Railroad Square. This photo, I have to tell you, you just can't imagine. I'm sitting here trying to imagine what it is that she is looking at. But the look in her eyes and her face is this mixture of terror and grief and disillusionment and disbelief. I mean, it's just absolutely compelling. You've not been able to reconnect with her?
Yeah. That was during Katrina. It was in Biloxi. I started off in New Orleans and then evacuated or moved out to, because we had other photographers in New Orleans, moved out to Biloxi.
Yeah.
And that lady had come to an area where 150 apartments had been completely obliterated and killed 30 people, the ones that decided to stay.
And why did they do that? Why did they decide to stay? I've never quite figured that part out.
Who knows? Yeah. I mean,
had they been through other hurricanes and decided?
I don't know if they've been through them, but I know that apartment complex was there and survived Camille.
Okay.
So I guess they felt
maybe
somewhat safe, which was not true. There were really, of those 150 apartments, nothing bigger, you know, a cardboard box.
Really?
It was just completely obliterated. And she had just discovered that her friends were missing and couldn't find them, and feared them to be one of the 30.
Golly. Interview with a Hurricane is the name of the show. A gallery presented by the Poynter Institute and curated by Kenny Irby, featuring the work of our friend and photojournalist Mark Wallheiser, who for over the last 35 years has been helping us see the world through his eyes and through his lens. When you think about what else you'd be doing right now, is there any? Granted, I'm not silly enough to imagine that you would be working, you know, at Walmart or something at this point in life. But is there something else you'd rather be doing, I guess?
No, I can't imagine this doing anything else. Now, I'll say this. My 35 years in the media, I still shoot for magazines and whatnot, but most of that business has turned to business photography, corporate photography.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been able to find the same excitement in that work,
really,
that I found.
But you know, I think
photographing
about
presidents and, you know.
Well, that could be exciting, I imagine. But then again, just looking at some of these photos and crawling over snakes and deer and now you're doing what? You know, you're doing a wedding.
Not weddings.
Not doing weddings. Okay.
Business.
Corporate stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, I leave right after this interview and headed to Macon to shoot some executives.
But come on, I mean,
it's
that's a different
it's
world.
It's a totally different world from the adrenaline-driven journalism coverage, and that has been such a part of my life. You know, I'll always miss that. But I'm finding the challenge and excitement and the creativity that they're hiring me for in the business world.
Okay.
I'm enjoying it.
Maybe we could just like stir something up, you know, like when you show up.
I've done that.
For the corporate shoot, you know, okay, guys, I want everybody to take your shirts off.
Right.
No, I guess not.
You're thinking Rolling Stone.
Right? I mean, I don't know. Yeah, just something. You know, do you realize who it is they're dealing with here? This is Mark Wolheiser. You know, he's been through 30 hurricanes over 35. No, I guess that doesn't.
It's actually 16 hurricanes.
16 hurricanes.
And 11 tropical storms.
Oh. So if you think about those folks who are coming behind you and they're involved in the same kind of work, any cautionary notes? Stuff to watch out for, in addition to the snakes.
Like the comedian says, it's not that the wind is blowing; it's what the wind is blowing.
Mm.
So, when you've got your face to the camera and you're shooting, you don't know what flying stop sign or wall of a house is headed your way, and put stainless steel soles inside your boots.
Yeah.
Now your those work, nails, there's no ambulances.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, you're out there. If you do get injured,
you're on your own.
Or bit, you're on your own.
Right.
Your work is available online, and
it
you
is.
Have a website. Tell us that web address.
MarkWolheiser.com.
Simple enough.
Yeah.
Okay, well, MarkWolheiser.com, and therein I can see examples of not only hurricanes, but all the work that you've done, the sports world. Okay. Who are some of the most interesting people, individuals that you've photographed? You mentioned some of the work you've done in the corporate world and maybe in sports, not only in terms of the photos themselves, but just the people and what you found in dealing with them.
That's a tough one. If you're just talking about totally interesting people, I've done a lot of work over the years with the homeless around here, photographing the homeless. They're always interesting.
Imagine.
They've got some stories. Don't know if they're true, but so they're probably the most interesting and sometimes the most dangerous.
Yeah.
But, I spent the day with Obama a couple of years, 3 years ago, I guess. And he and his family were interesting. They stopped, they offered me ice cream. They stopped at a ice cream shop.
Where was that?
That was in Panama City.
Yeah. And they had come down because of the
BP, oil spill, I think.
Oil spill,
right. They came down and spent the night
over
there.
Trying to figure out what that was all about.
And then we're headed back to Air Force One and stopped at a ice cream shop.
And you were there.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, or did you go to photograph?
Well, I was there. I've been following them around.
Okay.
Right.
And at the time, were you again, you were on your own. You weren't working for
No, I was working for Getty.
Oh, you were?
Getty
okay.
Images, yeah.
Okay. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on a Saturday morning, talking with Mark Wolheiser, photojournalist, and especially talking about this show he's got going this month at 621 Gallery there at Railroad Square in Tallahassee. Make sure that you've taken the opportunity to go and see this remarkable collection of work. I'm looking forward to it. There is a reception from 3 until 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon that is open and to you and I to come and congratulate Mark on his accomplishments over this last 35-plus years, especially this show entitled Interview with a Hurricane. And, Mark, you know, that's a compelling title in and of itself, so it's sort of intriguing. When we think of an interview, of course, we think in terms of, you know, pen and pencil or whatever, or our, you know, our tablet, electronic tablet maybe. Here you've conducted that interview through the lens of a camera. So your story being told in these images, What are we going to see in this particular show? What give us a kind of a
you're going to see
artist
in addition to the lady on the flyer. You're going to see like the gentleman whose house is split. There's another local gentleman that in Hurricane Josephine, Tropical Storm Josephine, it flooded Doak Campbell, and his car, the water's up to his windows, and his reaction is painful. Makes you pain to see his, you know, these cars flooded. There's the one picture with the guy guarding his property with an AR-15 and a Glock 45.
That was probably a difficult photo to get, I would imagine.
When you have to get out of your car and go walking up.
Hi!
I'm Mark Wallen. He doesn't care. What do you want?
Did you go with your hands in the air?
He was probably thinking the same thing about me that I was about him. I wonder what this guy's story is.
Interesting question. Have you been threatened on more than one occasion?
No, absolutely.
Yeah, people say, hey, buddy, take that camera and place it where the sun never shines, kind of thing. Yeah.
It's not always welcome.
I imagine.
And the thing about it, in the hurricane coverage, I don't want to say you're rarely welcomed, but they'd just soon you not be there is what they really don't understand at that point. Because they're focused on something else.
Their private lives have just been made public.
Oh, upside down.
Yeah.
And now public. But it's those photographs, good, strong photojournalism, that drives the recovery of a region, I believe. Mm-hmm. In other words, when those pictures go out nationally and internationally, the recovery money, food, clothing, all of that stuff.
And volunteerism.
Volunteerism starts pouring in
based
in a big part on the reaction to photographs. Yeah. So now obviously there's stories with it, but the people gravitate toward the photos first, and that's what grabs them in any story.
Yeah.
So it comes back to benefit them in the end.
How do you deal with that when, honestly and obviously, you are a fella who cares about people? I can see the tears in your eyes as you're telling some of these stories. You're not a hard-hearted individual, and you're compelled yet to do what has to be done to get the story out. For these reasons, and for a lot of reasons, it's not all about Mark. It's not all about the job he's doing. It's a bigger task. And they're telling you, "Hey, just get the hell out of here. We don't want you here."
Right. And if they tell you that, you leave. You deal with it with a great deal of empathy.
Yeah. And sensitivity. Then.
Right.
The homeless folks you're talking about, you know, trying to become, and I remember you telling us that in our first visit with you, how you took the opportunity, and that was a process. I mean, that took time for them to become acquainted with you and used to you being there and being able to become part of their world in a manner where they were willing to be honest with you.
Right.
Right. What did you learn in those experiences about homeless folks that maybe I wouldn't know? I mean, what's the biggest misconception, do you think, about homeless folks?
I think that folks tend to think that they're choosing to be there, and some of them are, but the homelessness situation increased exponentially, and I can't remember the court case or what year. It's been a while, and they dumped all the mental cases out on the street because they couldn't hold them just based on that. Mm-hmm. And so much of that issue is a mental health issue and substance abuse issue,
right.
And it's not necessarily of their choosing. They're self-medicating. And I certainly understand that.
And they're circumstantial. We
all do that maybe on Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
But it's short-lived.
Right. Whereas theirs is a chronic condition. And,
their life situation is a chronic condition.
Yeah, makes them unemployable. We had an opportunity to speak with Big Bend Homeless Coalition folks, Ms. Peugeot, I was here a couple of weeks ago, and her associate, and we spoke at length about their work in trying to bring help and redirection for those who are homeless. Find that your photos are part of that, part of helping
yes.
that effort?
Yes.
Again, and, because?
And Echo and some of those. I would say it, if, you know, go to the Big Bend Homeless Coalition on Thanksgiving. They serve out there.
Hang out.
And there. And have Thanksgiving dinner with them. They'll yeah. feed you and be more than happy to. And it's a touch point that yeah. people can do where you're not just driving by ignoring them. And spend an hour. Take your kids. That'd be great.
You know, you'll
let them see it.
You may not know this, but when they were here talking with us about their work, I actually committed you to a project, so I hope you'll forgive me for that. But I had the bright idea of doing a fundraiser for the coalition, and we would feature your work in a gallery manner, and we would entitle the show Faces. Because they, in fact, have a program, I think, that has the word faces in it or
oh,
something
cool.
of that nature.
Yeah.
So we'll need to talk about that
right.
and figure out how to make that work for everybody. But I just think that would be another example where your work, as in the case of this show, Interview with a Hurricane, you're bringing that world right up to me that I would otherwise never have a chance to understand.
You can go to my website, and if you go to the gallery section, I believe, I hope I'm not saying this and it's not there, there's a gallery called Homeless,
okay.
or Homeless in Tallahassee.
I believe it is.
And just, it amazes me sometimes that folks allow me to stay when I drop in, but there's a lady being evicted, I mean, during the eviction, I mean, it's, some of it's hard to see, but it's reality. Mm-hmm. It's what's happening to our neighbors right now.
Wow.
Same thing when the wind blows here, Laura.
Yeah.
You know, this time it may be in Houma, Louisiana.
Right.
Next time it may be in Tallahassee, Florida. And, you know, people in Tallahassee feel somewhat safe because yep. we're not on the coast.
Right.
But I know when Andrew hit Homestead, some of the biggest damage was 25, 35 miles inland, which is, surprise, where Tallahassee is.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just obliterated.
Yeah.
And so don't feel safe.
97.9 ESPN Radio. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on a Saturday morning with Mark Wallheiser, our good buddy and an accomplished photojournalist. 35-plus years of out there wrestling with snakes and alligators and talking with people who are homeless and being involved in life situations that you and I otherwise might be insulated from, particularly hurricanes. And so he has a show the month of May here at 621 Gallery at Railroad Square and a reception tomorrow afternoon from 3 to 5. Make sure that you've participated in that. Is there an admission fee or anything of that nature?
No. So come have a glass of wine or...
All courtesy of the very good people at the Pointer.
No.
This is just you.
Just me. And Kenny Irby, who curated the
okay.
show, right.
Okay.
But
well, how cool is that?
Yeah.
You really are a nice guy.
How about that?
Going to buy me a glass of wine, show me some pretty pictures?
My wife claims she's going to mix hurricanes.
Oh.
But that I hadn't seen
all right, well,
yet.
Now... folks, we'll
they'll
have
be in a plastic cup.
We will have to see how that works out, but that's another good reason. And you know, I don't know, you may already be familiar with Mark's work. If you are, if you're a fan, I don't need to explain this to you. If you've just begun to understand what compels this guy to do all of these things, you're going to find out that within each one of these photographs, there is a big-hearted guy, somebody who cares very much about the subject, somebody who cares very much about how our community responds to such situations. and has taken the privilege that he has, if we can consider it that. Certainly you and I haven't been in those situations. He's been out there on our behalf, helping us see the world in a way that we couldn't otherwise. Mark, you know, you find yourself in dangerous situations at times, but you've also seen less, perhaps, life-threatening circumstances. Are there those moments that you remember particularly that are perhaps a more just more sensitive, maybe a more heartwarming experience that you recall? Of course, the photos with President Obama and his family.
I was going to say, anytime we beat Gators, I'm always at those games. So those are always liked.
Okay. So we've shown our true colors here. Good. Well, hey, there are a few Seminole fans listening this morning. You know, you Auburn guys, you need to just take a seat now. And we've already made it clear how we feel about the Gator Nation. Okay. I'm thinking of perhaps of situations that might pop up in your mind that you wish you could be there again, kind of feeling. Wish you could do again.
I can't think of particular incidents, but part of covering the underserved citizens in the community. Mm. The other side that we used to photograph a lot, especially as a journalist for the Democrat, were just events like Teacher of the Year, or where you go to the school when they walk in, surprise teacher wins. Those type events like that are just daily, everyday life that I would bring to the pages of the newspaper.
Right.
Were always pleasurable, and there's never enough of those type things, good news things.
Yeah.
Those type things will be missed.
Right.
You know, because I'm not there on a daily basis covering, you know, journalism in that fashion.
The daily traffic.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and those are always plus.
So when you get up in the morning, you don't have a list of assignments. What is
waiting
your day?
On the phone to ring.
Okay. But you're never without your camera.
Never. In fact, I got it right here. Let's just take a picture.
You'll be happy to know, folks, that I'm not here in my jammies this morning. So
good thing.
Good thinking. Yeah. Scare all the little kids. If you were in that situation again, would it be difficult to go back, do you think, into a more regimented daily assignment kind of thing? You like your autonomy, and you call the shots, no pun intended. But.
It would not be. In other words, I loved editorial journalism.
Yeah.
But that industry is not the same anymore. It's changed greatly.
How so?
It's, you know, the difficulty with the online information has pulled advertisers away from the print publications. Print's kind of going away anyway. So that whole industry, news media, magazines, has changed greatly, and the way journalists work has changed greatly, particularly photojournalists. There's probably only a third of them left in the country actively working for newspapers.
Yeah.
The rest have been laid off.
Really?
Or jobs eliminated. So, and they've become multimedia journalists. And I wish them the best. The country needs good professional journalists as opposed to non-professional bloggers.
Yeah.
But it's just not the same. So I don't think I would do well in today's.
Yeah. We've had conversations with folks from the newspaper, Rebecca Cantley and Elizabeth Mack and some of these folks and Bill Cotterill, and we talked about the face of journalism and how it has changed. And you mentioned the influence of bloggers, you know, and to what is it? Let's see, what's required of you to be a blogger? A computer and internet access is pretty much the ticket. And now you can do whatever you want to online. and right up there with Bill and anybody else who, as a professional, has been doing this for a while. Isn't there a demand, though, for your work as a photojournalist online? I mean, aren't you able to sell your photos to one of the press outlets?
I'm hired by folks who are predominantly online to shoot stuff for them.
AP and those kind of guys. Okay.
It's, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm certainly not knocking bloggers. I read a lot of blogs myself. But I'm knowledgeable about being selective as to who, what blogs I read, and whether they vet their stories, whether they research their sources and subjects, because otherwise they're just typing opinion.
Yeah.
If they don't, you know.
Right.
And hey, I got enough opinions. Everybody give you opinions.
Commissioner Gil Ziffer was here recently, and he made that statement. He talked about House Speaker O'Neill, and one of his favorite quotes from O'Neill was, everybody's entitled to their opinion. They're just not entitled to their version of the facts.
Right.
So I may have misquoted Speaker O'Neill in that, but it's close enough to make the point.
Right.
You know, the facts are the facts, and there's a difference. But the camera doesn't lie. So when you're snapping that shutter, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Or I mean, much of this show is from the film days, and it certainly was what it was in those days. You can make a camera lie nowadays, but that's the difference between a professional journalist and someone who's not been professionally trained.
And not necessarily skillful at Photoshop. Right. So that head does not look like it goes with that body. Is that what we're talking about?
So there again comes the trust. When a person puts a picture up, do you trust what you're seeing?
Yeah.
Do you know the source of the picture?
Are they credible?
Are they credible?
Yeah. 97.9 ESPN Radio here Saturday morning. We are having a great time. At least I'm having a blast. Mark, I mean, if I could just pay you to be here, this would be fun.
Sure, go ahead.
Go ahead and take more pictures, you know, and the rest of us would be wondering, what in the world are they doing? But we are having a great time looking at the work of a man who for the last 35 plus years has given us his view of the world through his lenses, through his cameras, through his eyes, as he has amassed a collection of work, some of which we will get to see if we are so fortunate as to visit the 621 Gallery this month, an opening tomorrow afternoon between 3 and 5. There at Railroad Square is for your enjoyment, entirely provided for you by this man, Mark Wallheiser, and his friends. Go and have a great afternoon, a glass of wine if you care to, but be sure that you see for yourself firsthand. Interview with a Hurricane. And how many photos are in this
collection? It's 50 images.
Wow. So I really want to allow myself a good hour, 2 hours at least, right? To enjoy
it. An hour. It depends on, you know.
Well, see, me, I like to study something.
Well, then
so I'm going to be like 10 minutes on each photo, so times 55. Okay, I think
And keep in mind, if you can't make it tomorrow, the show will run through the month of May leading up to the 2012 hurricane season, which starts June.
Okay.
So it runs until I think May 26th or something.
Yeah. Okay.
And 621 is open Thursday through Sunday from 1 to 5.
Okay. So that's convenient. I'm seeing here on this flyer the list of all of the hurricanes represented in this photo collection. And I mean, all the way from Kate to Katrina to Barry to Claudette.
Opal was in Panama City. I was in two or three of them in Pensacola. Ivan,
ever gone back to some of those places that you photographed then during that, and then gotten sort of the retro, or not the retro, but the after effects,
the follow up,
Thank you.
I remember going back and doing a year later on Opal in Panama City, and certainly I've been back to Biloxi. Once they got the casinos open, I went and stimulated the economy. Mm-hmm. And it's slow rebuild. Once you get the stuff bulldozed out, it takes a while.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. on a Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, bright and early, every Saturday, 97.9 ESPN Radio, talking with our good friend Mark Wolheiser, who has brought to us a very interesting opportunity, I think, a compelling opportunity to have a firsthand look at an interview with a hurricane. And this is his contribution to our understanding, a contribution to our connection with, the emotional connection with the lives of people over the last 30-plus years that have been, in some cases, devastated, in some cases have been killed by these furious storms, tropical storms and hurricanes that have ravaged the region all the way from Katrina to Opal to Kate. Some of those experiences, folks, you may have participated in, and you've probably got your own story from your own experiences, and I'm sure Mark would enjoy hearing from you. And so you can do that. The man, he will be there tomorrow afternoon between 3 and 5. You can visit with Mark and his friends at 621 Gallery there at Railroad Square and see for yourself the depth of this work and the magnitude of what this guy has done with a very simple device. It's amazing. You know, you push a button and you make things come alive for us. How did you get started? I probably asked you this question before, and it's maybe a silly question, but you know, were you back there in middle school or high school and said, gee, someday I want to be crawling over snakes in a hurricane?
That's exactly what I said.
I thought you would. You're such a weirdo.
I shot some pictures in high school, but never, I mean, just like anybody else would nowadays. When I got out, I grew up in Shelbyville, Tennessee, which is Tennessee walking horse country. So my first job was as a horse photographer. Who would have thunk?
But horses are nice.
Yep, they're pretty. I just don't like having to haul the feed in and the feed out, so to speak. So that's how I got started. And one of the gentlemen whose horses I used to photograph was the publisher at Montgomery. And he hired me to move there and work for the Montgomery Advertiser and the Alabama Journal newspapers. So that was my first experience of general circulation newspapers.
Big company or kind of a small town?
It was a big
paper?
Company. At that time, it was a the company name was Multimedia. I don't know what it is. Well, it's Gannett now.
Is that right?
It sure is. It is a sister paper to the Tallahassee Democrat, and the Alabama Journal was folded some years ago. So it's just Montgomery Advertiser.
So your life began as a photographer, began there, and then kind of came back around, and you ended up working for Gannett again.
Right.
That's interesting.
Right.
In between that, Knight Ritter, I guess, had the Tallahassee Democrats. You did.
Knight Ritter did for the majority of those years.
When you were working with the newspaper, let's talk about that, working at the Tallahassee Democrat, did you get to decide what stories you wanted to cover? You're given an assignment and said, here, go do this. You ever have that flexibility?
We were given assignments, and I would say it was about half and half through the 80s and 90s. They'd give you two or three assignments a day, but then you'd go find your own stuff, which more often than not yielded better pictures than the assignments. But and we would, when we'd get our assignments in the morning, there were times we'd go back in the little studio we had and we would bargain and trade those assignments with each other among the photographers to, hey, I'd rather shoot what you got. Here, I'll give you two of these for one of those.
Pack of cigarettes and you're good to go, buddy.
Right. So, you know, and it's just the people that you meet in that business through the years, you know, I still see them today. And I don't know them from Adam. I'll be at some event or whatnot, and they'll come up and say, you photographed me mowing my yard back in 84, and you're going, really?
You're trying to be polite.
Right.
Yeah, right.
So, and a lot of times.
Unless they were carrying a loaded weapon, probably not somebody you're going to remember.
Oh, no.
Then again.
Quite the contrary. Many of them, I'll ask them, what color was your house? And I'll say, I remember being there. That's right.
Okay.
You had that so-and-so, and they'd say, yeah.
That photographic memory.
Right.
That's cool.
So that's always nice when that happens around now.
And you've been in Tallahassee. You've made Tallahassee 30, your home all these years. Yeah.
Yeah, 30 or 31.
Yeah. Wow. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on Saturday morning. The hour is flying by us here, and I feel like we've just gotten started. But we're talking with Mark Wolheiser here at 97.9 ESPN Radio. If you were going to take someone under your curation, someone that you could mentor, a young photographer, is there any kind of protocol there? Is it, here's the camera, go find something to take pictures of, or would you be a bit more deliberate about saying, here are some pointers, you know, watch out for snakes, things like that? I keep coming back to snakes, since I'm still impressed with the folks. You got to see the picture.
I was going to say they're big snakes.
Holy man, goodness. I mean, you know, so that's my 4-year-old mentality here. But
I do mentor younger photographers, but the way I do that is they assist me in my photography when I have big shoots. Like the one I'm going to today, I'll be hauling my assistant with me up there for 2 days.
Okay. These are paid folks or interns or both?
My first assistant's a paid position, on many of these shoots, I'll have two or three assistants, and the others are not, but they are there to learn.
Interns.
And so they learn pretty much, as my wife would tell you, by osmosis. But after each of the shoots, once we pack the equipment away and I'll drop tailgate on the truck, we'll sit there, and if they got questions, that's when they ask. Yeah. If they want to know this or why I did that, then that's the debrief period.
Yeah.
And I've had several come through that have gone on to do good things. And then obviously once they work with me a bit, you know, I have them call me at home and say, hey, listen, I'm going to go shoot this or that. How would you approach this? Or how, you know.
That's cool.
And we'll.
How do they find you? Or do you seek out those folks that you need for help?
I have sought folks out, and most of mine have come from the film school at FSU, basically. And they're in for motion pictures. But, you know, those two fields overlap. And then I've had folks email me and say, hey, you know, it's when they assist for me, it's mostly grunt work.
Yeah.
Carry this stuff into that building and then help me set it up. And okay, I'm done. I tear it all down, put it back. And it better be in the same case it was in.
it better not be broken.
But yeah, because the newspaper ain't paying for this broken equipment anymore. So, but it works well. And they apparently, by them continuing to assist, find value in that.
Yeah. If you were to think about those situations where it did not go as you had hoped or as well as you wanted it to, are there any of those that...
No, never.
They're always...
Everything's great.
Just perfect.
Life's good.
Nothing.
Let me do the tap dance.
Okay, we're done. Goodbye.
I mean, sure, there's...
You go out on a job and here you've got a young person perhaps saying, what are we doing today and how's this going to work? And you have that in your head. It doesn't go the way you had it planned. Why? What happens?
There's always... shoots that don't go as I had planned. But you know, I'm my worst critic. So when I come back from a shoot and come home and sit down and tell my wife, oh man, today just sucked. It today was a horrible shoot. Then she'll look at
bad day at the office.
She'll look at me and grin and say, you know, it's better than you thought.
Yeah.
And so I'll start editing and prepare my pictures,
getting
ready.
But how do you know that coming out of there? What tells you this was a bad shoot today?
35 years.
Yeah. But I mean, what shows up in your head as you're taking that picture, you're going, this is not working?
More times than not, the reason when I come out that I'm disappointed is it instead of saying it didn't go well, I should be saying that didn't go as I visualized it, as I had it pre-visualized when I knocked on the front door.
I see.
It didn't go that way, but the reason you want to hire a quality, skilled professional photographer as opposed to somebody who's got a digital camera or Uncle Charlie who has a digital camera is the ability to change on the fly.
Yeah.
This is not happening like it was supposed to. Now, how am I going to get my paycheck today? What can I do?
Yeah.
What changes do I need to make on the fly that's going to yield these people some photos that they can advertise their business with? You know, I've still got to do my job, which is to make them happy.
Make it work.
So being able to make those changes on the fly while things are happening, you don't have long with executives.
Sort of like interviewing a photographer on a radio show. I get it. Yeah.
You got to make changes on the fly. And executives don't get along. You get 10 minutes,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Make it work.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's 2.5-3 hours of work setting up, getting ready, but you only got them for a few minutes.
You mentioned film. Have you ever thought about moving in that direction, making movies?
No. because
I can imagine that happening, especially with a guy like Charlie Belvin. You know Charlie, right? Mm-hmm. No? Okay. Got to make that happen, too. But go ahead. You were going to say.
You know, when I was shooting news for the Daily Paper, we'd go to events and TV would be there too.
Yeah, sure.
And my friend, the videographers would be friends of mine. There were a lot of events I'd go to that I would think, you know, this is a video event. This is not still pictures. This is, you know, I wished I had a video camera. But at that point, they were shooting videotape and you were editing, splicing tape, just like we would film. Nowadays, it's all electronic and digital. So you have to learn software programs for that that are as complicated as Photoshop.
Wow.
And I've done that once with Photoshop. I ain't doing it again. I'm an old film guy trying to learn, you know, new electronic technology.
Yeah. You like being in that world where that still photo is your stock and trade.
One photo.
Not looking to make movies. Okay.
The number of people that you could walk up to on the street and ask them to name Pulitzer Prize photos. Can you tell me any Pulitzer Prize photos or, you know, and they can probably name two or three over the years that they've seen that they knew. But they can't do that with video.
Yeah.
The power of a single image right there, that lady, to affect change. In this country and Tallahassee, it is astronomical. That same power is also in advertising photography.
Yeah.
I mean, but particularly in journalism, is so much stronger than video.
Wow,
so much stronger. And everybody, I mean, I go to YouTube. You know, there's some great stuff I like.
Right,
but it's not the same as the power of a single image.
Mark Wallheiser, our guest this morning. Folks, it's been a wonderful hour. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. And it's always a pleasure, Mark, to have you with us. Really.
Pleasure with me.
Really. Looking forward to this show. Tomorrow afternoon, folks, it opens at 621 Gallery from 3 to 5, open to the public, free of charge, complimentary refreshments there for you. Mark's going to be looking.
Get there before I drink.
And there might be a hurricane here or there for you. The consumable kind. So we're looking forward to it. Hope that you'll be sure to join us tomorrow afternoon. If you cannot do that, absolutely make it your mission to get down there. The show runs all the way through the end of May. I think the 26th of May at 621 Gallery in Railroad Square. A fabulous collection. This particular show entitled Interview with a Hurricane, 30 years of visual reporting from the eye of Mark Wallheiser, our good friend and a wonderful guest. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Brian.
Folks, we are taken with the fact that we are so blessed in this community to have somebody like Mark helping us understand better the world around us through his eye and through his lens, and that's why we wanted to have Mark in here this morning. That's why you're here this morning, and I'm glad that you've done so. Every Saturday morning, we try to bring you what it is that Tallahassee is talking about, and that's why we call it Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I made that up all by myself, and, you know, So be sure to join us again next Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, right here at 97.9 ESPN Radio. If you've missed one of the broadcasts or you'd like to hear again something that we have been able to bring to you, of course, you can go to our website, TallahasseeTalks.com, and go to the listen page. All of our shows are archived there for you, including this interview with Mark will be posted there in a day or two. And you can send us an email. You can suggest a topic or a guest that you'd like us to consider by emailing topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. Simple enough. Be sure that you check out what's going on around town, too. We've got our calendar of events. We've got a spotlight page there for you so you can get a little more depth on our guests, including the very wonderful Mark Wolheiser. And be sure that you stay tuned because we have coming up the Augusta Golf Show with John Patrick. And you are my guest every Saturday morning, so make sure you stop back here next Saturday at 8 o'clock and be a part of this show. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.